This podcast is sponsored by Stoney's Bar and Grill Cirencester. Get the Christmas party started at Stoney's, with tables available for up to 50 people, or buffets for up to 70 people. Hurry and book yours now before they all go by calling 01285 642 006 or visiting www.stonies.co. Let the festivities begin!
All right, I'm Big Mandy. You're listening to What the Actual Fuck? What the Actual Fuck?
Scarecrow Festival is like the most important day of the year.
Daft cow.
This is just ridiculous. What the actual fuck?
Hey, hey, what the actual fuckers. Welcome to episode three of What the Actual Fuck. It's a This Country podcast. The number one This Country podcast in the country.
In the world.
In the world. Might be the only one, but it's still
the number one. Go for.
Yes. So let me introduce... He's as stylish as Len and as popular as slugs. It's Neil. Hello.
What the actual fuck?
I thought I'd get that in there. Yeah. I thought I'd give you an actual introduction.
Well, very nice.
So do you like that?
Maybe. Yeah,
you like that?
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay.
That'll do.
Before we introduce our very, very special guest, I want to give a shout-out to one of our Patreon pledgers. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that all right? Carrington Martin, who's got his own podcast called The Real Dudes Podcast. He's given me a little blurb to read.
So okay, go for
my
it,
best
quickly,
voiceover. Yep. We are an indie podcast covering indie games and nerd culture. Come join us on our weekly antics.
Fabulous. Get involved.
Ding! Get involved.
Absolutely.
Well done. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Ding!
Ding! Ladies and gentlemen, let's introduce the very, very special guest. We have had the pleasure of... speaking to him before on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, yeah. You've actually got a seat this time instead of being sat in the corner on the damp patch. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Martin Mucklow himself, Paul Cooper. Hello.
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 How are you?
Very good, thank you.
He's got a voice for radio.
He has, hasn't he?
He's got that deep,
face for radio.
Rich, deep, rich, mahogany voice.
That's very well sold.
A hard word.
Right, let's shoot you straight in then, Paul. When did your involvement with this country begin?
It took an awful lot of persuasion, but the kids relented in the end. And... No, it. Yeah, I mean, there was kind of, you know, have you got a part for your old dad? You know, I do give you lots of lifts and whatever, so, you know, come on, you know, a bit of place for... So, the part came up for Kerry's dad, and they kind of said, well, do you want to have a go at it? So what their brief was listen to the Fred West interview tapes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Christ.
When he's being interviewed by the police. Yeah. That's the voice we want.
Right.
So I kind of went away and did it and did a little, you know, piece for... them and the casting people, and they sort of said, yeah, let's give it a go. So that was really it, really.
Right, so you were actually, you wanted a part in it. It wasn't them coming to you saying, this would be perfect for you.
Well, I was always interested, put it that way, if there was anything. And in fact, in the one that, the pilot one, I was actually a butcher in it.
Oh, right.
Said
okay.
Two lines in the pilot. So I was always kind of keen if there was anything. And they kind of said, well, I kind of looked like Daisy, you know, bald and slightly overweight. So, you know, which she is. But we said, you know, why not play the have a go, you know. So I said the casting and it went all right. So, you know, much to my surprise. And they said, yeah. So
have you ever acted before?
Well, the last time was. I was five, and Trevor, who plays Len, my brother, was, I think, about eight or nine, and he was a soldier, and it was Snow White, and I was one of the woodland animals playing a dicky bird, a blue bird coming on with a big beak, and Snow White was kind of throwing around, you know, crumbs and that, and I came on the stage saying, I want to be a soldier, and I was kind of dragged off, so that was kind of my only line, really, before.
So when it comes to the fact that you are... In the time that you are filming, you are in your children's hands, if you like.
Yeah, scary. And some of the lines they write for me is...
Exactly. And obviously, when I mean, we did to tell people that you were coming tonight on Twitter, it's the famous photo of you with your fantastic body. I love the way you coughed when I said that. Then fantastic, you know, about to have a fight.
Yeah.
Did you know that that was something, or are they thinking to themselves, what can we really do now to really sort of piss our dad off?
Yeah, take the show my stomach. Yeah. To all and sundry. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I was quite surprised, and especially some of the kind of language and whatever. You know, I think Daisy was kind of, you know, vomiting while she was writing. So it was quite a surprise, some of the stuff that, yeah, I did.
And was there any things that you actually went, well, no, I'm not going to say that, or no, I'm...
Oh, no, not, no, not
You're quite happy to just
God,
be...
Oh, God, yeah. It doesn't bother me at all.
So pretty much the whole episode was all scripted, and you didn't go off kilter and improvise any, or...?
Not much, no. A little bit more in the second series, which we've just filmed, but it was pretty scripted, yeah, and that was the hard bit for me, was learning the lines.
Mm.
And apparently I was kind of... Daisy said I looked like a carp. Kind of, so I just kind of opened my mouth and nothing was coming out at several things. But I found that quite tricky. There was a couple of times where they would maybe do a take where they say just kind of ab lip a little bit. So, you know, each shot is filmed about, you know, five or six times probably. More so in my case with line fluffs. And then they might give one or two where they just sort of say just, you know, put a few in. But we did a lot more of that in the second series.
Now I want to talk about your caravan.
Yeah.
So was it all filmed in that caravan? Because that must have been quite cozy to have got a film crew in there. And
yeah, absolutely. So that in there was obviously myself, Daisy, the director, the first AD, sound guys. I think someone was sitting in the toilet.
Really?
I mean, it was tiny, so everyone was on each other's shoulders, and there was another second camera, you know, filming from outside, you know, through the window. So it's kind of, you know, I'd never had any, you know, I'd never kind of seen or been of it, and suddenly you're taken in a car to that field, you know. So,
and that was still North Leach.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was kind of on a farmer's field, and it just kind of, you know, you just sort of arrive, and there's this caravan in the middle of this field, you know. I knew I was going to be in a caravan, but I didn't. It was kind of, you know, quite bleak and scary.
So what kind of things did they say about your character, apart from, was it just Fred West was the thing you had to go for to get into character? Or
that was
there
the
any...
voice. That was the kind of voice that they wanted.
Right. Was there any backstory to him at all that you...
Not specifically, no. It's funny because we actually had an acting coach in from New Zealand, who was on her way from New Zealand to Canada, and she stopped over for a week, and I was there for a couple of days, and she was absolutely brilliant. And she kind of was the one that, you know, talked about the backstories and what the kids' names were and things like that, and it kind of focused a lot more, you know, you know, who I was and stuff. But there wasn't a massive amount, no. It was just kind of, you know, roughly that I was, you know, used to be married to the mother, and I knew that kind of thing, and now I was with Sandra, and there was one or two children, I wasn't quite sure. And then I was a kind of milkman and something else. It was all a bit, it was all slightly vague.
So what about the things like the tattoos and that? Did you ever say in what the tattoos were going to be, or was that more what Daisy and Charlie decided?
No, I'm not sure whether they had an input. I think that was just makeup, really.
Right.
That they kind of came in, and maybe the director and stuff. Maybe the kids had a bit of an input. But yeah, that was kind of interesting.
How long do they last, those sort of tempers?
They kind of rub off after about three or four. Funny enough, the first time, it took about a week or more to rub off. But this the last lot, I had them put on again, but you can't see them, which is a bit bizarre.
Because they're obviously not Big Mandy has done those tattoos, because you can actually read what they are.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You can see
their quality. Yeah. You've seen that, the rose and the status quo one. No, I mean, they're kind of transfers that are just put on by the, and they've got dozens, you know, so, you know, occasionally one rubs off, so they kind of, you know, got to put another one on, you know, things like that. So yeah,
right,
they've got spares with, you know, makeup people all the time. Yeah.
And that game you were playing with Daisy, the landing game, is that based on a real sort of game that you played together?
No.
Daisy took inspiration from?
Unfortunately, no. I think, I don't know if the kids played it at all, but it was kind of mocked up, you know, by the, again, by the kind of, you know, the computer graphics guys. Yeah, okay. And did a great job on it, but I've never played it before in my life, and, you know, I was just kind of suddenly put on
and now you're
just,
hooked.
Just juggle this, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have you caught the bug now? Would you like to go off and maybe do a bit more acting, or?
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I loved. I think the second series, you kind of got a lot more familiar with it, and because we had a couple of days kind of coaching and stuff, and you know some rehearsals, that you know I got into it. I found it a lot easier. The first time you're kind of looking around, saying what the, you know, and trying to kind of, and then they say a second take and a third take and a fourth take. You're just trying to take it in, and then all the notes that are coming, you know, from the director and producer and things like that. So I mean, I'm not sure. It's kind of, you know, I'm kind of later in life now, and I think there's lots of other people out there that should be given a chance that have probably gone through, you know, drama school and stuff like that. But I enjoyed it, and
yeah,
you know, if they want me again, I'd love to do it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fantastic fun.
So how did you find things like learning lines? Because again, that's the one thing that I can never get my head around in regards to having to learn lines.
Yeah, I found it quite difficult. And funnily enough, in the second series, the bits that I learnt really well, I forgot.
Right.
Because the problem is that the director will say, actually, we'll take this line out, or we'll change this word, and then it suddenly it kind of throws you. But the kind of coaching we had from this lady, who's a kind of a top coach, and she kind of said, don't think about so much about the lines, just think about what the other people are kind of doing, and really know the story, and think about a time that may have been kind of familiar that you can recall on. So stuff like that kind of really helped, and she kind of did various exercises. So for instance, I was we were in North Leech in the hall, and I had to go with another character who I'm with in the second series. We had to kind of do our lines walking down the road in character, and my task was, I had to go into the chemist in North Leech and buy a box of condoms in Asmart in Macklin. And thank God the chemist was closed.
Oh, right, okay.
So then we went into the co-op, and I had to do it there. And, you know, they don't sell them anyhow, so it was a bit...
Because that's not believed. Because I believe Martin would go in bareback, wouldn't he?
He's a bareback. Yeah,
he
isn't
he? Yes. He wouldn't buy a condom.
No,
not unless he was having a party.
Absolutely. For balloons. Yeah, he wouldn't, yeah. But, so it was, an interesting little excursion, that one.
Right, I want to go back to the fight, the shirtless fight. Did you have a stunt double? Was that all you?
It was all me. I was so breathless as well. You know, I was absolutely fucking boxing is the because I've been doing a bit of training kind of late to try and get a bit kind of in trim. And it's the hardest sport I think you can do. I mean, it's just so knackering, you know, and kind of doing about 6-7 takes of it, and you know. And it was right at the end of the day, you know, it was just about to be dark, you know, it was tiring. Of course, Charlie was kind of flitting in and out a lot fitter than me. So, but good fun, good laugh.
Stop coughing. What was your favourite scene that you filmed?
I think, I like the fight bit. And I like the bit at the end, you know, we're kind of sitting, reflecting on me and Alan's missus. Yeah, so that was... because the guy that was Alan, I don't know if you recognise the guy that was Alan, he was the one who threw the kind of eggs at the window and then ran off.
Right.
Well, he was actually the driver, and the kids tried to get everyone virtually in the cast somewhere in the thing, and he was the driver. He was our driver, and Mickey. And so when he was running away, at the end, there's a thing comes up saying, this is in memory of Alan can't remember the surname, whatever it was. And some of the cast thought he'd actually died.
Oh, no.
And rang his wife up.
Oh, no.
Just kind of say, well, you know, really sorry, and it's terrible. And all
oh, my stuff. God.
Quite, but, yeah, very funny, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you can't say too much about Series 2, but will we see more of Martin in Series 2?
Yes, I'm in 3 episodes.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so quite a lot. So I did 2.5 days shooting in the first... And I did about five and a half days in the second one.
And clothes stay completely intact?
Yes. You can't say.
Maybe. I think that was enough. I think
I thought there might have been a love scene. That's why you were getting yourself all trimmed.
Yeah. Too many complaints.
Yeah. In the caravan, a love scene.
So you say complaints, but we were talking before we went on air about the fact that women like a bad boy, don't they? And we've seen on Twitter that, you know, the hashtag... What was it I said it was? Beast of a man.
Yeah. Beast of a man.
You know, and I think you're becoming a bit of a sex symbol.
They like a bad boy, but do they like a flasher? That's the thing.
Well,
yeah.
He's a peeper, isn't he? That's what he is. Yeah. He's a peeper.
Well, I'm not sure. I've been recognised once.
Really?
Yeah. And by someone I don't know, you know, but, you know, from
yeah, yeah.
But Slugs is... Slugs has said, you know, he's hundreds, in the hundreds.
Mm.
So I
that does
quite...
surprise me.
Well, funny enough, I had the Rock the Cotswold thing, and people said, God, I didn't recognise you because I've never seen you smile.
Right.
It's bizarre. Kind of, you just don't kind of think. So I've never seen you smile, and you kind of smile into night and whatever.
But then you also had your shirt on. If you had your shirt off, you'd have had 100. They'd have been like, you know.
A status quo tattoo.
I was going to say it's like pigs rain shit, but that's really being nasty. Yeah. I didn't mean it like that.
Pigs rain shit.
Flies rain shit. Yeah. Oh, God. The analogy was completely... Yeah. Oh, dear me.
Oh, dear.
So the Rock the Cotswolds then, did you enjoy the evening, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of bizarre because it was like a, you know, 500 sellout and there'd been people... You know, from all over the place. From Wales, that was Emma from Wales. You're probably listening in. This is Country Fan Club. And then there was Debs from Leicestershire. And then there was Gemma and her husband from Cornwall. People from Hull, Brighton, London. I mean, wow. They come from everywhere. And they were singing and chanting, you know, before, and when the kids came on stage, it was like a kind of, you know, football crowd. I mean, it was bizarre, you know, and a couple of hundred people waited after for selfies. So it was, yeah, it was kind of, you suddenly realize, you thought, wow, this is something special. There's a real kind of buzz to this, you know.
Mm. And you must have had a real proud moment when you had the likes of Russell Brand and people like that retweeting about how good the show is. And
yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah,
it was so positive for you, being obviously the dad of Daisy and that, and Charlie. And
yeah, I mean, it's a kind of whirlwind. Well, I say whirlwind. It's a kind of overnight, 6-year overnight success. You know, because the germ of the idea came 6 years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been
a long, slow kind of process, but they've stuck at it and worked, you know, had some real ups and downs, but worked really hard at it. So, yeah, incredibly proud.
Mm. So has it been quite frustrating with the ups and downs that you've seen from your side? Or, you know, or just as a doting parent, you just want the best for
Yeah, kind of good in a way, because, you know, as you know, in life, it's you've got to make all those mistakes first to come up with a kind of the good product. And that's kind of what happened, you know. I think with the pilot and stuff, you know, things kind of went wrong and stuff, and they kind of just got through it, you know. And then the BBC came in, and it's been great. But I think if they hadn't, you know, kind of made the mistakes, and you know, they knew what they wanted by the time the kind of BBC kind of said, "Let's go with it." So I think maybe it wouldn't have maybe been quite as good quality if they hadn't. So, you know, I was kind of, you've got to do that apprenticeship, and if you kind of do that apprenticeship with your first thing and it's live, then it could become a cropper, you know.
Yeah.
So I think actually the most difficult thing, it's a bit like the first album, you know, you have 5 years writing your first album and you're playing gigs all around the country, and then you get to bigger venues and you're playing the same kind of set basically, and then suddenly you've got to write the album in you know, 4 months.
Mm.
I think that was the kind of time that I was kind of worried the most for them.
Mm.
You know, can they repeat it? You know, but, you know, from seeing what, from reading the scripts and seeing the rushes and, you know, from what I've seen on set, you know, it's they've come up trumps, you know.
You've not wanted to get involved in the writing at all yourself?
No. I just let them alone. Yeah, I mean, we kind of, you know, offered to kind of help in bits when they were kind of stuck and they weren't quite sure, you know, both Jill and I, but no, you know, it's their thing and, you know, they have a way of doing it, so no, I can leave well alone. In fact, we've just kind of backed off completely, you know, it's... Mm. The longer it's gone on, you just kind of know that, you know, it's got to be their thing. So, yeah.
Are you ready for a Martin Mucklow spin-off now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ready for that?
That would be great.
All 6 episodes just on you.
Just on Martin.
With no top on.
No top.
Yeah. The Mucklow Report.
Yeah. You get a new tat each week or something.
That's right. That would be great. Yeah, be anyone fantastic. Listening out there that wants to
there you go.
Start that one up. Yeah.
You could take his caravan on tour, you know, when they do these road trips.
It virtually writes itself.
Bits of it all down the motorway, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to surmise that I'm thinking of storylines in series two, but you got Martin, you got Big Mandy. I mean, he loves tattoos.
Yeah.
She loves giving tattoos. Yeah. Boom, isn't it? It's like
that'd be an interesting combination.
Yeah,
Martin and Mandy.
I'm not quite sure where they should put the Justin Bieber tattoo.
Yeah.
Anyway, it could work. That's all I'm going to say. Right, we play a game with our guests.
Uh-huh.
It's called this
or
curtain.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Shall I play it again for you then?
Or
curtain.
Right, I'm going to give you 5 different pieces of dialogue.
Yeah.
You have to tell me whether it was Kerry or Curtin.
Okay, then.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Keep score, Neil.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice having new mates, to be honest.
Curtin.
That was Curtin.
King of the nerds.
Well done. Number 2. That makes you king of the nerds.
That's Kerry.
That is Kerry. Well done. Number 3. We should just flog all our old shit.
Kerry.
Well done. Or 3 for 3.
Yeah, 3 for 3, yeah.
See, this is like a penalty shootout, isn't it? You're 3 for 3. Number 4. Go on, rummage through.
That's Curtin.
Well done. So this one for the whole 5. Fucking hell, what was I thinking? They are massive nerds.
And that's Curtin.
Well done. That is
a full house.
Very,
bloody hell.
Very impressive. Oh, God.
Well then.
It's probably because I had... What do you think of this line?
That was very good.
That is awesome.
Although, to be fair, he's the dad of the people that wrote it. If he didn't get all those, I'd be very, very surprised.
Well.
Yeah, you know.
But well done. Well done.
Yeah, very well.
Ashley only managed 3.
Credit where credit's due.
Ashley only managed 3.
Listen to Ashley. He's very funny.
Fair play.
Very.
So what have you got coming up? I mean, obviously... Second series, all filming is finished now?
Yeah, or? Filming finished at the end of October. So the kids are now writing extra content, and they're also kind of giving notes on the, you know, we've seen some rushes of the, so they've got to give notes, you know, on what they want to, what they think. The trouble is there was a lot more filmed this time round, and they just it's kind of horrible seeing it having to be cut, you know, down to the kind of, you know, the amount that they need. So there's so much good kind of filming went on last time. They had to kind of cut it down, but they filmed a lot more stuff this time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that, and you know what they got to leave out and what they got to, you know, must be left in.
Mm.
So I think they're kind of spoilt for choice. So
yeah. I noticed somebody on Twitter, on our Twitter page, was saying about whether or not Series 1 was coming out on DVD. Do you know if there's plans for that to come out on DVD?
I don't think there's any plans at present. No.
Okay. Yeah. What about things like, because I love watching bloopers of different shows.
Yeah.
Would there be a chance of them sort of releasing that in some way?
I'd hope so, somewhere along the line. Yeah, there must be, you know, quite a few. I mean, Yeah, that would be brilliant.
I could imagine they'd be hilarious.
I would imagine they would be all the time as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good. I mean, on you know, it was the atmosphere on set the whole time was absolutely brilliant. You know, it was really funny, and the crew were amazing, absolutely, you know, spot on, absolutely amazing.
Did you corpse at all?
No, I didn't actually.
Right?
No, I didn't. Surprisingly. Slugs, I think, was the corpser, you know, king of the corpses. Although he didn't on the second series, he was very professional. Yeah, it's you know, it's quite you know, you kind of pick things up and you kind of you're able to kind of deal with it a lot more. You know, the kind of nerves and whatever. I think.
Do you find it easier in the second series?
Oh yeah, a lot easier. Yeah,
when is the second series out?
I think it'll be sort of probably late February, early March kind of time, probably. It'd be a little bit later just because it was filmed a bit later, went on a bit longer, and they got more stuff to deal with, more stuff to look through.
And the other question I was asked by somebody is, will there be a Christmas special?
Possibly, but nothing's been kind of planned yet.
Right.
But, I mean, the next thing is hopefully, you know, a third series, but... you just never know, do you?
No,
I mean,
no.
You have to see how and stuff goes and, you know, viewing figures and whatever.
Mm.
Or maybe a movie, like they used to do in the 70s. Are you being served? So be Kerry and Curtin going off to Benidorm.
Well, that's the challenge, because has there ever been a movie that's has been as good as the series? You know, I'm thinking of Likely Lads and...
I don't know.
I don't know if there has been. That's the thing.
It's kind of normally kind of, you know, Porridge and people like things like that. It's normally kind of never quite as good as.
But
it?
It's so because it's like a half an hour episode dragged out for an hour and a half, and that's where it gets watered down, doesn't it?
Yeah, you need that kind of punchy type stuff. So that would be a real good challenge. I think that would be really interesting for them,
mm.
you know, and hopefully, you know, that may happen one day.
And you could get off to Benidorm then. Look, really get some sun on the skin.
Take them to LA.
Yeah.
No, don't do Benidorm, Pav. Let's go LA.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Paul. It's been
brilliant.
Pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah.
And we never spoke about Wine, Women, or Wafers once.
No, it's been very.
Did you want to give your website and that, or you know, all the stuff, but it's all in the game, a shout out? Because you're obviously, with this petition, you're trying to.
Yeah, no, it's we've just come back. I didn't go because we were filming, but the Global Peace Games in Belgium. So we took over 40 kids from the UK, and they played kind of football and touch rugby, cricket, cycling, and did lots of workshops and various things with kids, 40 kids from Italy, and also. Schools in Belgium, but they were all kind of refugee schools. So it was all refugee kids from Afghanistan, Syria, and stuff. So the film's just been put up on that. So it's Children's Football Alliance. If you Google Children's Football Alliance, it's all on there.
Excellent. And if you want a bit more detail of that, we will be putting up the movie Heaven that we did with you at a later date. So you've got all the backstory of that, and you'll also work out what the Wine, Women and Wafers is all about.
A hit song, that would have been.
It would have been a hit song.
It would have.
Yeah.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah. And this country hasn't really got a theme, has it? Maybe we could record it.
No, that was interesting. Yeah they kind of decided not to in the end, so it was quite a funny
Martin one, Mucklow yeah. singing yeah. Wine, Women and Wafers.
Yeah, it's just Martin Mucklow sings. Martin Mucklow sings Christmas. Yeah.
If there's a series 3 and you're in it, there's got to be a scene when you're walking down the street pissed and you're just going, Wine, Women, Wafers.
Yes.
I would absolutely kill. That would be amazing.
Well, thank you very much,
yes,
Paul.
Well, thank you very
much. It's
been
awesome.
Just got a little bit of stuff to get through. I don't know if you've been seeing the polls that we've been putting up every week.
Oh, yes, right.
So the one this week is plane going down, only 3 parachutes. Who doesn't get one? And at the moment, you're on 29%, so that's not bad.
Oh, right. It was 50 at one.
Yeah,
Len didn't have any.
Slugs is at 41%.
Oh, right.
Len is at 12%, and the Vicar's got 18%. I think there's about 2 days left to go on that. So... So at the moment, poor old Slugs hasn't got a parachute.
Wow.
Aww.
So there you go. So if you want to join in on that, you can join us on Twitter at WTAF This Country. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. We do quotes of the day. My voice is going to go again. Excuse me. And also come and join us at pancast.co.uk. You can see all the other podcasts that we do, as well as the back catalogue for these. And also come and subscribe with us on patreon.com/pancast.
Loads of goodies up for grabs.
There for grabs. So thank you once again, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you very much, Pam.
And it's been wonderful once again, and I need to really work out a way of finishing these podcasts. So what the actual fuck?
That'll do.
What the actual fuck?
Scarecrow Festival is like the most important day of the year. Daft cow?
This is just ridiculous. What the actual fuck?
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Pavo.
Are you tired of listening to generic, boring radio podcasts?
Boring.
That's good.
Want to put a bit of fun back in your Thursdays?
Fun. Good work, you were long. So why not join us and Kelly...
Ka-ding! And Jen.
Naturally.
For an hour of sometimes NSFW fun...
And frolics.
Could you... mug a pug? That's the real question.
No, you can never mug a pug.
No.
You can mug one off. Including the UK top 10 movies.
Third highest grossing movie of the year. The year is...
Kelly's G-Spot.
Jen's Challenge. Challenge.
And also featuring Barry Gibb's Health Tips.
Ta-da! There's nothing on TV on Thursdays anymore, so come and entertain your ears.
You're funny.
With the Pancast Show.
Phenomenal.
Check us out at pancast.co.uk, or you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or other podcast apps.
It's all right.